Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Night, October 2nd, 2010. We still have Anthony Sanchez on the line, our first ever guest on the Light of Day radio show. Just for you folks that might be jumping on board here, I'll read something Norio Hayakawa sent me on Saturday. This was actually put out September 23rd. Dulce installation confirmed by Air Force Colonel? Researcher Anthony Sanchez reveals his recent contact from January with an Air Force colonel in California. New evidence on Dulce? It appears that for the first time ever, the official government/military name for the Dulce installation will be disclosed to the public. The colonel claims there has never been any Thomas Costello who had ever worked as security personnel at the Dulce installation. Neither are there any reptilians in Dulce, he states. But Colonel X confirms the presence of other inhabitants in the installation. Listen to the fascinating press conference with Anthony Sanchez on Saturday, September 25th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Jerry Pippin Show. And that's already archived on Jerry Pippin's website as well as Anthony's website. Jerry Pippin's special report on Dulce was a live press conference, which was held on September 11th in Angel Fire, New Mexico, with Anthony. Anthony has in his possession what appears to be a copy of a documentary evidence that backs up some of the claims of this Air Force colonel. Anthony will release this documentary evidence together with the fully transcribed three-hour interview with the colonel to the public in his upcoming fascinating book, UFO Highway, scheduled to be released this December. Anthony has personally shown Norio this documentary evidence on September 11th in Angel Fire, New Mexico. Well, you're listening to show number 28 of The Light of Day and Orion. We're going to have Anthony on here maybe for another half hour or so. Before we went into the break, there, Anthony, you were talking about you did have some further thoughts on Planet X that had something to do with the Northern Lights. Go ahead.
This was in 2008. I remember that over the Levesque Scandinavian region, in the, there was this aurora borealis that a photograph was taken from Bishop Square, and this was the solar wind activity from the sun corona holes. There was a digital pixelation around this photo, and what's interesting was is that there was this spot that appeared in the sky behind the moon, which was unusual, and I remember that a lot of people were theorizing that that could have been Planet X, And I don't know, you know, who the photographer was, but I remember that it was in 2008 of January, this aurora borealis over Scandinavia. And people were saying that that possibly could have been a photo of Planet X.
Oh, wow. So what actually is the name of the Delcy base, then?
Oh, okay, yeah. So let's go ahead and get into that. The name of the Delcy base is Rio Arriba Scientific and Technical Underground Auxiliary. And that was the first time that I had heard of that. And it has a designation of supposedly all three Delcy facilities are under the oversight of Los Alamos National Laboratory, so they have the same technical area designations as all LANL facilities. So the main Delcy facility is TAD1, which is Technical Area D1, Delcy 1, and then you have two other facilities that make up the Delcy underground complex. The second facility is Technical Area D2, which is off of the eastern slope of the plateau, but before you reach County Road 357, which comes up from Lumberton and heads up to the southern Colorado border, that is a two-level underground security auxiliary. And I go into much detail about that facility in the book. That's the one that I actually went out to when I was in Delcy, where I actually went up 357 and took photographs of some very, very strange things that were completely out of place. I found what appeared to be transformers in the middle of nowhere, which really, really stood out to me as strange. Why would there be transformers when there's nothing there? There's nothing else there. So I had talked to Chris O'Brien about this. Chris O'Brien is known for his expertise on the whole Delcy area, as well as the San Luis Valley in Colorado, researching cattle mutilations and the underground bases and UFOs and whatnot. And he concurs with me that he's seen a lot of strange things right there in that same area off of the eastern slope of the Archuleta Mesa Plateau headed towards 357 eastward. And it just doesn't make sense to me that there's things like transformers in the middle of, wilderness, and there's nothing else around. So that struck a chord with me, and that lent a strong level of believability for me that when the colonel says that there's a two-level underground complex there, the security auxiliary, I believe it. I firmly believe that there is something there. There is another facility, TAD3, which was southwest of Delcy, right smack dab in the middle of Leandro Canyon, which is part of the Carson National Forest. This is an interesting piece of information here, Sheldon. This facility, this scientific auxiliary, was supposed to have been completed in 1980. However, it was delayed because of what had occurred in 1979. The hostilities that had taken place there, this engagement between the Greys and the Delcy security forces, it postponed all of this development that was supposed to have taken place there at Leandro Canyon. However, one piece of development did continue on to completion in 1980. That was Leandro Tank, which is this water abatement. And it is the strangest thing. This is a water abatement built on top of one of the most heavily irradiated areas in the world. It's practically on top of ground zero of Project Gas Buggy, which is where they detonated this nuclear device underground to try and facilitate.
Hold your thoughts. There's a break, Anthony.
Yep, okay.
Okay, we're coming to break. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. You're listening to Live Dan Orion. folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion, Saturday night, October 2nd, 2010. Now, I'm not sure what Anthony was really talking about there before the break kicked in. You know, sometimes I have other distractions going on here. It's not that I'm, you know, I don't want to pay attention to the guests. It's not that. But, Anthony, I'm reading something here out of the Examiner.com. There was this big first-ever conference in Dulce the early part of last year, and one of the speakers there was a local rancher named Edmund Gomez, and he believed that claims of ETs and UFOs related to the Mesa was disinformation, but he did find evidence of classified activities and an air vent to an underground facility during a 1988 expedition. His discovery and photo of the vent was the first concrete evidence that an underground base does exist at Dulce. Have you ever seen a picture of that vent?
No, I haven't seen the picture, but I do know that he presented that photo to Congress there at the Dulce, at the Dulce Conference, which was thrown by Norman Hightower at the Best Western Hickory Inn before they had to move the conference across the street to the Civil Meeting Forum because of overcapacity. They had too many people attending. And anyhow, so I have not seen the photo, but I know the photo exists because Norio Hayakawa is actually friends with all of the principals involved with Dulce. You know, Gabe Valdez, you know, Hoyt Velarde, Edmund Gomez. He knows all of these people, and, you know, he's gained their trust over the years. So, this is absolutely real. The photo does exist. I know that Chris O'Brien, who was one of the speakers there, he saw it. I'm sure Dr. Michael Sala and everybody else who spoke at the conference saw it. One thing of interest to note is that Colonel X was at that conference with his wife, and they were sitting outside having coffee at about 5:50, 5:55 in the morning when two black unmarked helicopters flew over the Best Western Hickory Inn. One of them hovered over the parking lot, scanning vehicles, and the other one kind of swung around the roof area, and they were there for several minutes and woke up everybody, and that's something that was of major interest to me, knowing that this colonel takes a serious interest in Dulce and has followed up on practically every major development over the years since his retirement in 1983. Before we went to the break, I was mentioning Technical Area D3, which was the third facility, which was completed in 1991 beneath Leandro Canyon, that whole area. And my point that I was making was that they built this water abatement for cattle. However, the problem is there's no cattle there. This is a heavily irradiated area. The cattle that have wandered into the area have been found dead due to exposure to radiation. And there actually have been some noted cattle mutilations in that area as well, too. So this water abatement that they built is a 30-by-30 miniature reservoir, and it's essentially used to deposit toxic waste and chemicals that are coming out of this TAD3 scientific facility. And the reason why they built it there is because no one is going to monitor this area. You know, who's going to go check up on a heavily irradiated area, and who gives a damn if they're dumping toxic chemicals there?
Hey,
so that was an interesting part of the research that I conducted, that I found out that this was completed in 1980 at the same time that the original complex was supposed to have been completed, which was in 1881. But because of the fighting that had occurred in 1979, the demilitarized zone essentially was enacted. Protocols were set off, you know, enacting this DMZ, which lasted for 2 years, so nothing took place until they were able to reestablish, diplomatic relations again with these Grays that worked there at Dulce. So in 1991... coincidentally, is when you started hearing rumors of these MILABs, these military abductions of humans, super soldier programs, and biogenetic engineering and testing. There was, now according to the colonel, in the 90s, in the late 80s, early 90s, this malevolent organization, this dark element, took over the Dulce complex. They had infiltrated AFOSI, they had infiltrated DSD-3, which is the intelligence and security organization that operates the Dulce facilities. So, you know, it's a funny coincidence that in 1991 is when all these rumors started to come out. There was a rumor of an incident that had taken place at that PAD-3 location where up to 20 people were killed because of this breach in the program of this these super soldier programs. I guess there was two subjects that were scheduled to be terminated, and somehow they escaped, went berserk, and killed a bunch of the scientific contingent. And there's a lot of interesting stuff that is in the book with regards to Dulce that I had never heard of before. And, there's a lot of compelling evidence that we have. So really excited about this. The one thing that I want to point out to people is I walked into this not knowing anything about Dulce. You know, I really didn't know much about Dulce as a whole because, again, my focus was on alien-human hybridization and with regards to human origins, and HARP and Project Blooming. Those were my specialties. I've just spent the last 9 to 10 months on Dulce because it landed on my lap, essentially, and it's overtaken everything. It is such a powerful story. That's all that people want to talk about. And I'm a bit dismayed because my other subjects are kind of being pushed to the side. But I'm also excited because it's giving a lot of exposure to disclosure of human, rights violations and environmental atrocities that are taking place there in northern New Mexico. And that's the reason why Colonel Lex is coming forward, because he was hoping that by the year 2000 there was going to be a full disclosure on the Greys and what we're doing in Dulce. It's already 2000 gone by since his wish of disclosure, and nothing has happened. And he knows that innocent people are being abducted. They're, being held. They're being, against their will, and they're being used for these biochemical, exercises and these potentially, these super soldier programs. And, that's the reason why all this information is coming out, Sheldon.
Well, I wanted to say a few minutes ago that there's a talk show host out there by the name of John Moore. He says that he had unearthed that they were using the cover of Superfund. There's the break. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. Folks, welcome back to the Light of Day on Orion with your host Sheldon Day. We're live Saturday night, October 2nd, 2010. We have on the line Anthony Sanchez, and this is going to be our final segment together because I still have some stuff I wanted to read before the the sun comes up here, and it won't be long, and the sun will be coming back up. Boy, I tell you, the time is just flying like usual. I did want to throw in something here. There's a talk show host out there, Anthony, named John Morin. He was saying that he unearthed the construction of a super fun cleanup site to supposedly, they dispose nuclear waste in these super fun cleanup sites. And this is a guy that actually woke me up to the reality of Planet X, and he says that he thinks that was just a cover story for the construction of these underground shelters that have been going on. I personally believe whether there's aliens or not at the Dulce facilities, I personally think it's a COG base, a continuity of government base. Myself, as Planet X comes in, they're going to have all these shelters to go to underground. And you know, we have these reports of millions of missing children every year. I can't remember the exact number, but it's pretty darn high, I know. I think what they're doing is genetic experimentation with these missing children in these underground facilities, and they're actually creating a pool of genetic constructs that'll be used to come up and patrol slash enforce the law. Surface world after the Earth cataclysms begin. That's why there's been such a need, according to Lucas, to autonomize, or in other words, robotize the U.S. military, because he thinks that the elites are going to send their robots up to the surface to enforce the law, you know, as Planet X passes, because that's just what me and Lucas think. You know, who really knows what's going on, but I do know there's a minimum thousands and thousands of missing children that go on each year. Well, Anthony, you were saying on the Jerry Pippen show there was an expedition from what's now Edwards Air Force Base that was sent to Dulce back in the 40s, and what exactly did they uncover there? You said something about cryptographic machines and other things?
Yeah, the Merrick expedition was this group of men that were hand chosen from Muroc Army Airfield, which at the time was still called Muroc Lake Bombing and Gunnery Range. This was in 1940. It wasn't until, I think it was in 1941 or 42, that they actually started calling it Muroc Army Airfield. I guess that was in 49 when they named it to Edwards Air Force Base. I don't remember exactly, but anyhow, yeah, these guys were chosen to act as a ground complement to pilots that were surveying Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Southern Colorado for potential future homes for our atomic development program. And one of the locations that they came upon was the Archuleta Mesa. They found a massive cavern there, and inside the cavern, they found this underground, facility. It was intrinsic to the environment. There it was part artificial construction, part natural, natural cavernous environment. And they found a bunch of futuristic type devices, machines in there. They found an Akkadian cuneiform type writing system. They didn't know what it was when they found it, but when the experts came in later, they realized they were dealing with a cuneiform type writing system, but a highly advanced system, much more structured, an augmented system with greater detail. They found these sheets of these metallic sheets that had machine-like precision etching in them, which were like these permanent records, permanent archaeological. These were archaeological finds of permanent records, historical records, of their history. And because we were able to understand cuneiform, we were able to translate all of this. And we understand why the graves are there, who put them there, how long they've been there, and how they even got to this planet in the first place. It's a very, very interesting bit of information there. They found evidence of a battle that had taken place between Apache warriors and what they described at the time as these small, diminutive type, human-like beings. They had large heads, huge eye sockets, and they thought they were human-like in appearance. And, you know, they found, you know, Colt revolvers and Winchester repeater rifles that had been strewn about the place, you know, spent and unspent ammunition all over the place. And they knew that definitely something had happened there because there were dead. Interspersed with discoveries of these rooms which held these this equipment. You got to keep in mind this is 1940s, so these guys are, you know, they're trying to equate everything to, you know, what existed at that time. So everybody was like, we knew that the Germans were 25 to 30 years ahead of the curve, well ahead of the rest of the Western European civilization as far as technologically, you know, speaking.
Hey,
so,
Anthony?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I get suspicious of this UFO/ET stuff, because here we got, you know, the colonel talking about these very human-looking ETs in these caverns in Dulce. Well, there's a show that just come out here on Monday night called The Event, and these very human-looking ETs, their genetics are only 1% away from ours. And, you know, there is a possibility the elites could be feeding disinformation to Colonel X to, you know, perpetuate some type of false, you know, UFO flyover or something.
Yeah, that's possible, but I don't think that it's disinformation. I think that this is disclosure, and I think that the guy is coming out at the right time. I'm writing an editorial right now on all this. You know, we're seeing all these heavy practices of disclosure right now. You have The Event, you have the Vatican saying that they're going to baptize ETs if we ever encounter them. You have the Vatican astronomer saying that, if there are, ETs out there, this is the Vatican, keep in mind. They're admitting that there's the possibility of extraterrestrial life. These are the same people that told Galileo, you know, that he was wrong. And then you have the United Nations announcing their first contact office. All of this happening at the same time that we have the Goldilocks planet, Gliese.
Right, this is coming from very, very mainstream people like Edgar Mitchell, the UN, the Vatican, the National Press Club. That's why I'm very leery of this stuff, because this is very mainstream source stuff. I mean, there's got to be some agenda behind to what they're up to.
And there's a newly published book by a retired NORAD officer who's predicting that in October of this year, that's a tentative date for a fleet of extraterrestrial vehicles who are going to hover over Earth's principal cities for hours at a time. I think he said October 13th or something
Yeah, I was reading about that.
Yeah, so you have all this disclosure, and it's strange how it's all culminating right now. So the story, you know, that the colonel was talking about, you know, it's pretty compelling stuff. And he's saying that that there is this secret cabal behind this whole, you know, this everything that is happening at Dulce. Listen, there were two groups there at Dulce, based on what we know of. The Greys were created by this progenitor race to support and to serve these offspring that were capable of surviving on Earth. The original people that came to Earth, they couldn't survive here. So they had to create this genetic offspring that was capable of surviving here. Well, they ended up, you know, infecting the Greys, hoping that they would die and go away. They put them on the other side of the planet at the time, when everybody else was, you know, heavily concentrated in the Near East region of the world, Mesopotamia, out, you know, by southern Iraq. You know, they flew halfway around the planet, shoved them inside these caverns, and said, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you soon.
Well, there's a break. Thanks for coming on board, Anthony. UFOHighway.com, folks.
Hey, thank you for having me,
thanks,
Sheldon.
Thanks for being on board, Anthony. And the well, there's the break, folks. We'll be back. Busted down. Blizzard, he was lost. She ran calling wildfire. She ran calling wildfire. She ran calling wildfire.
years old. My name's Ethan.
I hurt my leg outside.
And I hurt my leg outside.
I don't know if you folks could hear that, but that's my 5-year-old boy. Say it again, Ethan. How old?
I'm 5.
And what happened to you tonight outside?
I broke my leg.
He hurt his leg outside tonight. This is Shaolin Day. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion, show number 28. Well, that concludes our interview with Anthony Sanchez. Can I have my chair back, Ethan? I got to finish my show. Thanks. Yeah, when it comes to all this ET stuff, I don't know, folks. I'm not trying to bash my guests. I was studying this UFO phenomena for I got into it in the early 90s, and just about, 3 years ago, I finally got away from almost all that stuff. I really tend to think there's some agenda or psyops going on with this UFO stuff for some reason. I really believed that these warnings that Bill Cooper was putting out before they murdered him, that there was a possibility, even though he was in the Office of Naval Intelligence, that he was being used to spread disinformation. It's not to say that my guest is a bad person or this Colonel X, but there's always a possibility. We should always leave this possibility open, that the elites may be using people to further some agenda that they have behind the scenes. Whether there's ETs or not at the Dulce base is not the point with me. The point is I really believe the base does exist. And me and Anthony could probably at least agree on that. I always have believed the Dulce base exists. I've never been there, by the way. I've always been fascinated with the topic of it for some reason, though. I don't know what it is, but I just sensed that there's something to the topic here. I want to read an email from John DiNardo, but first I wanted to say that there was like I was saying with Anthony, there was this TV show that came out Monday on either NBC or MSNBC. It was aired, I know, simultaneously on 5 different TV stations. It was called The Event, and sure enough, The timing for all this stuff is just fascinating. We got the event coming out Monday night, and here Colonel, all this information is released on the Jerry Pippen show about the Dulce base Saturday night. Then we have the National Press Conference up in Washington, D.C., talking about UFO/nukes disclosure on September 27th. That would have been, Monday. And then last Saturday night, as I mentioned earlier in the show, there was this major sighting of an Air Force TR-3B triangle over Tucson. And, the timing for them to throw all this out at us is pretty incredible, if you ask me. I also got this email from Steve Shapiro on Wednesday I want to read to you folks. Let's see, that would have been the 30th. Let me retrieve that email. We're live Saturday night, October 2nd. You're listening to The Light of Day with Sheldon Day on Orion. The title of the email is Potentially Habitable Planet Found Near Earth. Keep in mind, this comes out 2 days after the event show on NBC. U.S. scientists find potentially habitable planet near Earth. Washington. U.S. astronomers said Wednesday they have discovered an Earth-sized planet that they think might be habitable, orbiting a nearby star, and believe there could be many more planets like it in space. My opinion on this, folks, is we're going to be hearing a lot more about this stuff very soon. They're ramping all this up for something here to happen real soon. Back to the article. The planet found by astronomers at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and the Carnegie Institution of Washington is orbiting in the middle of the habitable zone of the red dwarf star Gliese 581, which means it could have water on its surface. Liquid water and an atmosphere are necessary for a planet to possibly sustain life, even if it might not be a great place to live, the scientists said. The scientists determined that the planet, which they have called Gliese 581, G as in girl, has a mass 3 to 4 times that of Earth. Now, where have we heard that before, folks? Has a mass 3 to 4 times that of Earth. That's what the John Moore was putting out on some of these radio interviews, that Planet X has a mass 3 to 4 times that of Earth. In fact, in the article, the orbital period of this planet would be just under 37 days. Its mass indicates that it is probably a rocky planet and has enough gravity to hold on to an atmosphere, according to Stephen Vogt, professor of astronomy and astrophysics at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and one of the leaders of the team that If Gliese 581G has a rocky composition similar to Earth's, its diameter would be about 1.2 to 1.4 times that of the Earth, the researchers said. I also wanted to state, folks, that Jimmy here at the network also sent me a link on this as well. The surface gravity would be about the same or slightly higher than Earth, so that a person could easily walk upright on the planet. And here's another thing, folks. There was an article put out back at the end of June. A lot of people missed this, that they had the first released photograph of an alien planet outside our solar system. If anybody's interested in that, just shoot me an email, gem3andtucson@q.com, and I'll ship that over to you. But, you know, this stuff goes on and on. What I think they're trying to do is condition us with the ideation of these planets with possible life on them, and as Planet X gets close enough, people are going to have some sense of hope and encouragement that things are going to be okay. So they'll throw in the UFO deception to, you know, here are the aliens, they're here to save us and protect us, and everything's going to be okay, and then life will just go on while that comet-looking thing just stays up in the sky and people stay employed like slaves. That's just my current thoughts on what I really think's happening here. I have an email that John DiNardo sent me on the 28th of September. He sums it up pretty good. He said, Joyce Riley of the Power Hour radio program on Monday morning was seeking insights into the event TV show on the extraterrestrial agenda that is being promoted. Please ask Stuart Best, enigma@thelightgate.com, to get her on her show. Joyce is taking callers right now, and these listeners have great insights, mentioning Project Bluebeam and that blue light Norway spiral, for example. Another caller mentioned the connection between MSNBC promoting the event TV series, which would show that the aliens are stopping us from using nuclear weapons. Yet, NBC is the big nuclear weapons manufacturer. So these power elite are extremely duplicitous. Another caller says, and John DiNardo agreed, that these are the fallen angels, the Nephilim. Another caller recommended that we read the Book of Enoch to find out more about their plan to dominate the world with fallen angels. The event TV series sure appears to be sending the subliminal message to the highly suggestible viewers that these aliens are good, loving, peaceful, much like us, and that we should embrace them as our new peace leaders. They're propagandizing us to accept these aliens, which are fallen angels, as being like us and liking us and being our friends and protectors, protecting us from our own destructive drives, so we should embrace them, etc. Keep watching the event, folks. I'll bet we will see the event's President Obama embracing these aliens to the degree that President Obama becomes indwelled by the aliens' leader, Satan, and Obama therefore will become the Antichrist of the world. David Bay of CuttingEdge.org told DiNardo that DiNardo was wrong when DiNardo showed biblical timeline evidence that Obama is the Antichrist, John DiNardo. So that was a pretty good summation from John about what's going on here. Don't get me wrong, folks, I really enjoyed having this guest on tonight, Anthony Sanchez, but you know, we need to keep in mind that it's even possible that folks like me are being used to spread disinformation. Who really knows? I mean, I'm no expert on the topic of Planet X. I've only been into this 9 months, and I'm just trying to learn as much as I can. And I got to admit, I sure have learned a lot in the 9 to 10 months I've been studying it. But, you know, I've been into this alternative research slash truth movement community now since the early 90s, so I can usually detect truth when I hear it. End the show, folks. We'll be back next week. Goodbye.